So I became more of a sales guy through being a better person with less strenuous techniques. I think that I am blessed to have taken myself less serious and gave my clients and my peers more of my personality, and we grew together. I ended up being a pretty good sales guy and grew very well in the business world by taking myself less seriously and then doing the right things with my clients.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. This is Ben Morton, and welcome to episode 54 of the podcast. In this episode, we are joined by Eddie Rivers, who began his career in the US Army and graduated West Point Military Academy in 1980 with a Bachelor's of Science degree in General Engineering. He then went on to earn a Master's degree in Systems Management from the University of Southern California and a Master's of Jurisprudence degree at IU in 2017. Despite this, he never shares his post-nominals, which I think is a testament to his humility and his desire to learn in order to better serve those that he leads. In this episode, Eddie brings his experience from over 25 years of corporate leadership for billion-dollar revenue companies as co-founder and president of Rivers Resources and eSource Resources. Eddie aggressively oversees all aspects of the company's efforts to build a diverse business. At the end of our conversation, I asked Eddie what he thinks are three key traits for leaders in business today. And his answer, which I won't spoil, no spoiler alerts, folks, seemed to align with everything that he'd shared up until that point. But before we get into the episode, let me talk to you briefly about the CEO Sleep Out, which is a charity that I'm proudly supporting right now. CEO Sleep Out UK is a national movement and a registered charity that aims to unite business leaders, those with influence and power to do things differently, behind a call to end homelessness. CEO Sleep Out events in cities across the UK, from Alnwick to Portsmouth and everywhere in between. And in doing so, they unlock understanding, empathy, and raise big money, the majority of which is ploughed back into charities working tirelessly on the front line of homelessness in each host city. So far, more than 3,800 executives have raised £2.9 million, providing over 100 charities with the funds to change countless lives. If you want to get involved, there are a number of ways to do so. Number one, listen to episode 55 of the show and my conversation with their CEO, Bianca Robinson. Number two, visit their website via the link in the show notes. Number three, sign up and join a Sleep Out via the same link in the show notes. Or number four, you can sponsor my Sleep Out. Shameless plug here for some sponsorship, folks. You can sponsor my Sleep Out at Lord's Cricket Ground in London on the 22nd of November. And I'm match funding every single penny donated. So again, for that, you can find the link in the show notes. Thank you in advance for your support with this, what is a brilliant, brilliant charity. And now, without any further delay, please enjoy my conversation with Eddie Rivers. Eddie, a very warm welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you with us on the show today. And first of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, sir. Thank you very much for asking.
Good. That's good to hear. Eddie, I'd like to dive straight in with a new question I thought I would like to kick off each episode of the podcast with, which is really just asking, what does leadership mean to you?
That's a very good question, sir. And I'll say this to you. I feel that leadership is very key to me because that's my source of trying to find ways to get folks to join my bandwagon. I'm trying to be a person who brings forth the positive things, and my leadership is my way or my route of trying to grab those around me to follow me towards a positive ending.
Yeah, I love that, Eddie. And you've had a varied career, right? What you're doing now isn't what you set out to do. So I'm wondering, how do you think your career journey has shaped you as a leader and informed your leadership style? And then what would you say are some of the key lessons you've learned along the way?
I tell you, sir, I've been very blessed to have had a very good life of leadership. I think as a young kid, I was kind of bullied from like fourth grade below. So I took it upon myself to grow and get better and be a leader versus be a follower. And so over the years, from my fifth grade years on up, I've always sought out jobs that involve leadership, from grade school clubs to high school clubs to going to West Point and then in the military. I've always tried to be a leader among men, not trying to stand out alone, but to be part of the guys who would forge forward as the guy with the knowledge and support to move forward in a positive direction. Very, very blessed that even though I began my high school thoughts of being a lawyer, I ended up going to West Point based upon some advice and counsel from my teachers in high school. So I ended up becoming well-trained in leadership by my peers and my professors at West Point.
And what are some of the things from West Point in terms of leadership lessons that are really at the front of your mind? It's a fascinating question for me because having gone down a similar path in some respects, being trained at Royal Military Academy Sandhurst in the UK, there are certain things from my time there that have always stood with me. One of those that we was joking about before we hit record that's not directly related to leadership is always being somewhere five minutes early. Like for me, if I'm not 5 minutes early, I'm late. Like what are some of the things you took from West Point that are really still with you?
That's very true, sir. Well, first of all, I learned how to one become a guy who knew my place, because really, as a high school kid, I was a leader. I was a big fish in a small pond. Getting to West Point, I became really and truly a small fish in a huge pond, because once there, all of my peers were leaders. They were all folks of strong backgrounds. So I had to find my place and lead when the leadership was needed and so forth. At times, you're part of a team. At times, you are the leader. And so I had to identify the areas where I was actually best suited to be that leader. And so there, I learned how to communicate with others, to get along well with others, and to be the right guy at the right time frame. I guess in total, I learned humility. I learned to prepare myself better. I learned to also accept good advice and counsel and surround myself with those folks who were better than me or as good as me in certain areas.
It's fascinating what you said about also being a team member. And again, that's definitely something that I took from my time at the Royal Military Academy here, but I don't think it's anything that was ever overtly taught to us at Sandhurst, the importance of being a great, great team member. I think we almost learned that sort of vicariously, I think, through the year-long training program. But I just think it's so, so important for leaders to also be able to be a good follower and team member. I don't know, do you have a particular view on that? Or was that, I'm curious, was that overtly taught at West Point at all?
Actually, we were taught early on to be part of a team in some aspects, other times part of a leadership group. And so many times we would change roles on purpose. And as we saw our peers do well or do poorly, we actually analyzed how we were a part of that. Were we a positive piece of that deal or a negative part? Did those folks follow us properly? And did we give them support needed when they were in charge? So I think West Point played a very big part in making us see the positive parts of being a good teammate and also a good leader. I guess the biggest thing we learned at West Point early on was we need to cooperate in order to graduate, because you could not get things done timely if you didn't give your peers and your support guys chance to help out or be the right person they had to be at that point in time.
And how would you say your leadership style kind of has evolved, Eddie, kind of throughout time at West Point and now being a really successful businessman? How has it kind of changed over the years, if indeed at all?
I think it has changed. I think I thought that being a leader meant you always had to be the smartest guy in the room, okay? And I learned that at West Point, I was not, by no means. I may have been the smartest guy in the room in high school or in many clubs, but at West Point, I was not. And so I had to learn to take what my positive points were and to bring them to the forefront at certain time frames. I learned that I had to upgrade my skill set by learning more every day. I think that I learned a lot by looking at myself and seeing where do I have a shortfall and going over there and learning that part better. So when my time came to move forward the next time, I was ready. I was prepared. And so I would do my team its best service by providing my expertise when part of that team group, or when I was in charge, I utilized my skills to be a proper leader in my area of expertise.
Mm. And Eddie, I heard you speak then about learning, continually learning and growing and almost analyzing your own performance. Like I'm curious, on a very practical level, like probably post-military, how did you go about doing that? Was that a reflective practice that you sat and did by yourself? Was it through going out and seeking feedback? Was it through coaches and mentors? What did that look like?
Good question, sir. I literally at West Point did not do the best I could have done at the time. Was not prepared to really listen to other folks early on. But as I succeeded or failed, I realized I had to have better skill sets. So over the years, I've always asked the question of my mentors, what is my next area of need to improve? So through various tests and through various questioning, I've learned certain areas that need to be worked on. So, for example, I've always pursued other avenues to add to my expertise. Since finishing West Point with a BS in engineering, I've also gained a master's from USC in development of systems, and that was key to actually improve my engineering skill set. And also over time, I needed to utilize that master's, that MBA, to help me do better in my work in the military and also in my business life outside of the military. Upon getting those things groomed pretty well, I also chose to go to law school because I saw that law school was added help in me identifying ways to be more organized and to be more inquiring of certain things as well. And so that was my second master's degree. And currently, at the old age of 64, I'm now in divinity school trying to get a master's in divinity because I know that I am a very religious man and believe in certain aspects of the Lord that need to be a better guide there as well. So it's been a lifelong process of mine to constantly find ways to enhance my understanding of things that I don't know as well. With that being said, I'm not trying to be an A-plus student. Just trying to do is be better prepared for the future. You'll never see behind my names BS or MS or MJ, whatever. You just see the fact that I use those skill sets to provide better leadership to my peers and to my teams when I'm actually involved as a leader.
Yeah. Eddie, I'm slightly in awe of the fact that you've got two masters and you're currently working on a third. So the obvious question is, like, how is a busy CEO, how do you find time?
It's kind of funny. From my days as a military brat to my time at West Point, I learned to sleep less and enjoy my time daylight better. So literally, I go to bed about 11:30 p.m. in the evenings and get up about 5 or 5:30 in the mornings. And so to me, when I am awake, there's nothing more fun or enjoyable than learning and moving the ball forward. So I maximize my time of day by working at the best I can at doing all things to get things done properly and really have zero time to really sit around and waste it.
Yeah, wow. So what is the, again, very practically, what does the start of your day look like? What do you do with those first few hours while the rest of the world, or at least the rest of the United States, is sleeping? Like, what are you doing in those first hours?
Believe it or not, what I do is I get up and I begin to walk. I walk between 2 to 14 miles, depending upon the day. Weekends, I do 14 miles or less. By weekdays, I do 2 to 4 miles typically. And I walk and play certain music,
right,
to really get me going. Music is typically music that I can sit and think about, you know, and think about my day. I plan ahead. So when I finish my walk, my plan is in place for that day's activities.
Got you.
I then go back to my office and I put it in writing on my calendar and move forward from there.
And is that you go out and walk, come rain, wind, or shine?
Oh, absolutely. If it's a nice day or a nice morning, I walk outside. If it's a bad morning, i.e. rain or that dreaded snow, I go inside to my treadmill.
Got you.
My treadmill is my least favorite, but it works because I can't miss certain days. It's kind of funny because right now I'm on my Apple Watch, I've got 1,127 days currently of walking and doing my rings over the past, you know, consecutive days. So it's kind of a challenge to me to constantly do those things. And so I'm constantly monitoring if it's done properly. So,
well, so that's, I'll just quickly doing the maths here. That's over 3 years where you've not missed a day then, right?
Absolutely.
That's incredible. I'd take it off right now to you.
No, I just enjoy being alive, and I want to maximize my days as much as possible.
Yeah. So you're up early, you're straight out for your walk, doing your thinking, you come back, you commit your plan to your calendar or to paper. So what next? What happens next?
Well, then we get going. I don't like to spend time watching TV or lollygagging around. I get active. So I get to my first task and we get it done, and the next task is at hand. So
Right. Either
I'm working at my desk for my team, or I'm actually doing a sales call,
right,
or I'm doing some reading of some sort. Right. So it's really a blessing to be involved during work hours and doing the actual work process.
Yeah.
However, it's not a case where I'm all work and no play. I do weave in time for my family and friends as well, because that's why I work.
Yeah.
I work for my family and my friends versus just for work itself.
Yeah. And is the first task of the day, does that tend to be a like business related task, or does that tend to be kind of working on your master's or some learning?
It's typically doing a breakfast meeting. I have breakfast or coffee with someone, either for my charity or for my business, every morning about 8 o'clock typically. However, on some days I will block it out for doing a paper or doing something of importance for my classes.
Yeah.
For most part, my classes are done in the evenings or even early morning before 5, as I do get up at times before 5 to actually do a small paper, because I can think better at 3, 4 in the morning than I can, you know, during the actual daytime activities.
Yeah, got you. That's fascinating, Eddie. And thanks for sharing. One of the reasons I ask is there seems to be this interest, maybe verging on obsession for some people, with understanding people's morning routines and what are different leaders do, how do they structure their days. So it's really interesting to hear you share that. Yeah, and it's inspired me to get on with my next big piece of learning. So thank you.
Oh, awesome, sir. My pleasure.
And I guess taking all of the questions in a different direction to we planned, from all of that learning and personal development you've done, what would you say has been one of the most useful, most valuable pieces in terms of helping you be the best leader, best CEO that you can be? Is there one thing that you've done that really stands out that you know made a difference, or is there not?
Oh, for sure. I think I took myself too serious way back when. Back in my late 20s, early 30s, I thought I was probably too serious about things. It was required that I get a lot more done in those time frames. When I did too much and didn't give enough time to reflect or enjoy myself, I tended to have too many issues of mistakes or didn't satisfy myself like I wanted to. I think once I learned that I was not all that myself, I wasn't the end-all, be-all, I realized I had to bring others involved into my group and help me to do better as well. When you're at West Point, you know that you aren't the best because there are many guys like you. When you get on outside world, you tend to think you have, a grasp on most things. Obviously, I learned quickly that it was the same there as well. So I had to think less of myself, but not in a negative fashion, just that I had to realize that I needed to be more open to help, more open to resting, more open to not taking myself so seriously. So I did cut back somewhat, but not to the point where I backed off totally.
Yeah, that really resonates with me, Eddie. And it's something I reflect on quite a lot, actually. If I think back to my personal early career joining the military and some of my good friends, I think I definitely took myself way too seriously and was always striving to work really hard, study really hard. I think along the way, I kind of missed some opportunities to relax, have fun, and realize when I didn't have to sort of quite be on my AAA game. And I think as a result of that, I think I probably burnt out slightly early on in my military career. And I suddenly noticed I got very tired of constantly being assessed. Whereas if I look at a couple of very good friends who I joined the military with, who went on to have long, successful careers as lieutenant colonels, some now full colonels in the military, the guys that got to those colonel positions, those big leadership positions, were all the guys who knew when to turn it on, to use that phrase, and when they could kick back and relax and enjoyed it and had more fun along the way with less striving. And I tend not to have regrets in life. And if I could go back and change one thing, I'd go back and change that, I think.
Well, I tell you, I did not go on in the military very long. I spent 5 strong years in the military. I made captain while there. I ended up getting out early because of my 2 bad knees. I played football at the academy. I went to Ranger school, went to airborne school. And over those schools, I worked hard and actually injured myself pretty well with my knees. So when I chose to leave the military to avoid not progressing like I wanted to, I chose to go to the civilian world and went to IBM.
Right.
And while there, I realized the fact that I needed to be less of a hard charger in the physical realm and do more of the connectivity with a kind of a mindset. So I became more of a sales guy through being a better person with less strenuous techniques. I think that I am blessed to have taken myself less serious and gave my clients and my peers more of my personality, and we grew together. With that being the case, I ended up being a pretty good sales guy and grew very well in the business world by taking myself less seriously and in doing the right things with my clients.
Yeah, and talking of growing in the business world, if you could give perhaps just one piece of advice to somebody looking to start and then grow or scale their own business based on your experience, what would be the one major piece of advice you'd give?
I guess the biggest piece of advice is to understand that you can't gain it all in one fell swoop. It takes planning and support as well. I was at IBM for almost 10 years, and I sold a lot of products and made a lot of customers happy as well. And I did so by understanding that I personally couldn't do it all very fast. I had to do it in a systematic route. I had to gain all the actual resources and provide the client and my peers with the proper support to get it done. And together, we grew our client base very well, gave our clients great products, and ended up becoming a needed resource by many, to the point where I was actually recruited out of IBM to be a business partner to help another firm grow very well. That began kind of a sequence of being recruited twice in a row by two firms to become their leader as well in the sales area with IBM. That grew and grew for many years to the point where I was making just unbelievable money, but I wasn't happy because I got, once again, too busy doing too much. So I had to pull back and leave that business world to begin my own firm, thereby pulling back from as much travel and doing it in a better sequence, as well as trying to then become successful again. I did it by pulling back, but being a leader with proper planning and proper sequence of things versus rushing through it and trying to be all to everybody else.
And Eddie, I guess the next question, it's worth me putting a caveat on, which is sort of sharing my view, really, that I don't think there's much in life that we can label as a failure, so long as we've learned from it along the way. So with that caveat in place, what would you say is sort of the biggest failure in inverted commas that you've had, or mistake that you've learned along the way, and the lesson you've learned from it?
That's very easy, sir. I've had a setback in my career when I chose to start my own firm. I didn't take the advice of my attorney and my CPA in total early on. So instead of starting a firm where I was actually the leader in percentage-wise and dollar-wise up front, I chose to give part of my firm to a friend from my IBM days. And in giving that piece, I did it equally. And that was not proper, because by having equal ownership of a firm, there was no true leader.
Right.
And so after a small honeymoon of doing well together, there became certain frictions. And the friction ended up causing a breakup that cost us both a lot of money and our friendship. So with that being said, I learned then in the future that being a leader is not bad. It's actually a blessing, because someone has to take charge. Someone has to be the one who has the final say.
Yeah.
So my next step in that firm process was to be the leader in actual actions and also in percentage of business. And since then, I've done very well as far as managing my growth. I've listened to my attorneys, I've listened to my CPAs, and listened to my leadership history as well.
Mm. Were you able to rebuild that friendship?
No. To be honest, that's one thing that I did not do. I did not go back to that friendship, because I learned that was not truly a true friendship. It was a case where it was a business move by that person, and it didn't pan out for us very well at all. So I moved forward from there.
Right.
I've since made many, many more friendships and grew them also, but did so by understanding how those things fit in a business world.
Yeah.
I've got quite a few friends, and I intend to keep that, for the most part, on the outside. Business is business, and you can't tie your friendships too closely to the success of an actual firm, because then you both suffer, and the firm will as well.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that sentiment. Yeah, really, really agree. Eddie, a couple of quick-fire questions to finish up with, if that's okay. This might be a hard question for you, judging by what you said around your sort of hunger and appetite for learning, but what would you say are the one or two books perhaps that you've read that have really had the biggest impact upon you?
This may make you laugh, but it's a fact. One is the Bible. Mm. The Bible has always been one of my most read books. I read it three times, And I read it for religion and for leadership as well. In the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, are quite a few stories about leadership. Number two is a book that I read as a kid in the fifth grade about chess. I learned to play chess early on as a kid, and that's been my game in life. To me, chess is outstanding as far as trying to organize yourself, think ahead, and to be on the attack at the right time. So in a nutshell, my two favorite books are literally the Bible, which has been a lifelong thing, and a book on how to play chess, which again has been a lifelong thing, again, beginning in fifth grade through now.
I love that. It's fascinating to hear you talk about that. Especially the chess piece is really interesting for me. Like, I'm really passionate, always talking to clients and anyone who'll listen about the benefits of kind of scanning ahead and looking over the horizon and what can I do today so I'm on the front foot next week and all of that sort of thinking. And I've played a little bit of chess over the years. My 9-year-old daughter's just getting into it a little bit, but I'd never actually made that direct connection that I just heard you make between how it really cultivates that ability to think ahead, which I love. So I'm gonna keep encouraging my daughter to keep up with her chess. Oh, I think
please do. Smart move, sir. It really is. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
I love that. And final question, Eddie, what would you say are three key personality traits for successful leaders in the world we're currently in?
I tell you, I really truly believe in really being an achiever in whatever I do. Being an achiever is something that I want to do each and every day. I want to literally find some aspect to move forward each day, each week, each vacation time frame. Always want to achieve, okay? Additionally, I want to be empathetic to those around me as I literally am trying to move forward and achieve things as well. I want to make sure that I'm being empathetic to my company, to my family, and to my peers. Those things are very much part of my belief system. And last but not least, you heard it before, I love to learn. And the learning process is, if you don't keep yourself looking at new things, be it, you know, innovations or even history, you can't possibly do the right things in your business world as a leader. So try to upgrade your skills by learning more every day in some capacity, either enhancing what you know already by a certain topic or learning a new topic and involving it as well in your activities.
Yeah, I think empathy is something that is incredibly valuable. I think it's a sort of trait or characteristic that isn't spoken about perhaps enough amongst leadership and in the business world. But I think especially in the times we're in now and coming off the back of the 18, 20 months we've had, arguably empathy has never been more important right now than never been more important than ever, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I want to achieve, but you got to understand you can't achieve by stepping on throats and not caring about those around you. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Eddie, thank you so much for your time. I've loved the 30 minutes we've spent chatting together. I've learned a lot from you. I've been inspired by you to go and do a couple of particular things. So thank you for that. And I'm sure everybody listening to the show will feel the same. So thank you very much. Thanks for your time and have a great day, whatever it is you're going on to do next.
It's been a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that episode, folks. But more importantly, as always, I really hope you're able to go away and make some small positive changes as a result of what you just heard. And before you go, a few quick reminders for you. Please do take just 2 minutes to complete that podcast listener survey via the link in the show notes in order to be in with a chance of winning one of those free sets of the most recommended books by guests on the show. And if you are getting value from the show, please do take a couple of minutes as well to rate, review, and subscribe via iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as it really does help us to continue growing the podcast and bringing you more and more great interviews with leaders and subject matter experts. And finally, if you've still got time after all of that, please do stop by my website, www.ben-morton.com, to learn more about my work and how I may be able to support you now or in the future. That's it for this episode. I will see you again very soon. Take care and lead on.